we can call those things which are not as though they were. So if you've been practicing faith and confession, then like your words would be very powerful, like when you command, and you can command and call snow to Denver, to Colorado, the specific areas you want it. And say, okay, I now snow, I call you, you know. Because God has given us the authority, and this is the point. We have to use that authority. Like Jesus, he used the authority when he was in the boat. You know, they thought he was going to sink, and then he told the winds and waves to shut up, calm down, whatever he said to them. You know, Jesus spoke to things. He spoke to the elements. He spoke to people. He spoke to sickness. He spoke to devil spirits. So, like, you know, that's the words, like how, what we say, what we're energized by God and say will come to pass, you know. So it's now time to really practice this authority of who we are in Christ to declare and speak forth those things so that we can see and have our testimonies before God and before others to declare the goodness of God and that his word is true, his power is real. And this is what makes known the one true God. Is that's the calling card of God, is the signs, the miracles and wonders, just like we, you know, God protected Kim and the girls when they were out there in the safari. He's protected us and you in many different situations. But, you know, we go straight to the scripture. You know, there's scripture verification. Romans 4, I think it's 17 maybe, or somewhere around there, where it says, God calleth those things which are not as though they were. You know, and that's what we do. You know, we have the Spirit of God, we're God's children, so we can mimic God. It says in Ephesians 5:1, you know, what's it, walk in love. Be imitators of God. Walk in love. And so we're to imitate our Heavenly Father. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you know, have the faith, 11:22, have the faith of God. The real translation should say, have the faith of God. Not have faith in God. It's to have the faith of God. Now we're God's kids with the Spirit of God. We got the faith of God. In fact, we got the faith of Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus do? How did he speak? How did he think? How did he talk? How did he act? And we can practice this way. It's a practice. And so, like, all life's problems, we can speak to them. That's what we need to do. We need to speak to life's problems, life situation. We can pray. No, that's one avenue that we can go to God. God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto who? God. So what's the problem? All right, God, this is the problem. Now I'm coming to you for the solution. God already knows the problem, you know, and then we need to speak the solution. And the first thing we need to do is get rid of worries, fears, and doubts, anxiety. And so, Father, this is something that's troubling my heart right now, and I need to be settled on this, you know, so settle me down. And I know that you're real, you're true, bigger than my five senses, bigger than my circumstances, bigger than my health, bigger than my bank account, bigger than my relationships. Father, I invite you in through my faith, Father, to go to work for me. You know, you go to work for me, God, because it's grace. And grace is that you do the work. I know in and of myself I can't do nothing, but I also know that you've given me authority. You've given me the power. You've given me the words and ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile men and women back, to reconcile health back, poverty back to abundance, broken relationships amongst people, amongst whoever's connected to me that I've had broken relationship. These things can be restored. So I call that restoration, Father. You open the door through the words I speak, Father, that you are the way maker. Like when Jesus spoke, then the elements had to obey. You know, the winds had to die down. The waves had to calm down. The winds had to go first and then the waves, right? And then there was peace, you know, and that's where you hear the voice of God in that peace. So if you're all shook up in an area of your life, then go to God and say, Father, now I invite you in on this situation. I know that all things are possible with you and all things are possible for me because I believe in you. and that you are my Father, that you do hold me by the right hand, that you are the way maker, that you have the solutions, you have the answers, you have the direction. And so now I come to you. And so, Father, take care of this thing, because it's a burden, it's a hindrance, it's a slowdown, it's a weight. And Father, that I'm relying upon you. And Jesus said, you know, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. If things are grievous, it's because maybe you're doing it in your own strength. Maybe you've made some decisions hastily. Maybe you've gone ahead of yourself rather than waiting on the Father. You know, when we're moving in life, when we're doing things, we need to pray. We need to cover things in a thing called prayer. Father, this is my desire. And so now you go ahead of me and show me the path. You lead my way. You make my feet like hinds' feet. You set me upon my high places. Father, prepare the way. Make the path clear. Father, send your angels before me to prosper my journey in this day and in this week and in this month and in this year. Make everything wonderful, Father, so that I'm on your path, so I don't have to go to the left or to the right. But I also know if I do go to the left or to the right, I'll hear a word behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So God is absolutely faithful to restore, to replenish, to heal, to deliver, to prosper, to give more than you can handle in the sense of abundance, to be a blessing. He says his blessings will chase you down and overtake you. Check what you're doing. You know, examine yourself, where I mentioned this before, whether you're in the faith. Are you really believing? Have you gone ahead of yourself? Are you thinking outside of the simplicity of who you are in Christ and who God is? And that we know with God, nothing is impossible. Listen, if you've sown your seed, God says here, multiply it, right? Do you believe that? Or do you give up halfway through because you haven't seen something in your timing? God is faithful. And if he says he's going to multiply, you see, he's either a liar or he's telling the truth. And we know that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he not said it? And shall he not make it good? God says, come on, guys, believe me. Stop doubting. Why are you doubt? Wherefore did you doubt? Wherefore did you doubt? Jesus would say this to the disciples. Wherefore did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Knowing who your Father is. Knowing that all things are possible with him. Knowing that he is the way maker. He is the restorer. He's left the blaze of his testimony through the centuries of what he's done through his men and women that have looked to him. And if you think of these men and women done great and mighty things, Elijah, done great and mighty things, Samuel, Moses, and they didn't have the Spirit of God within. We're sons of God. Now we've got the Spirit of God within. We're joint heirs with, we're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Christ. So we're a partaker of this great life with God, and we should be living the heavenly life here on the earth. But it's when we decide that we're clever, you know, I'm smart, I know how this works. No, I've done it. I've got experience. We need to keep humble and we need to keep meek and we need not to brush aside the heavenly words that have been spoken, especially on here, because you've been given heavenly words and we shouldn't talk about them or against them. Nothing wrong asking questions because that's a great healthy thing if you're not sure about anything. But we certainly don't talk and say this is wrong, that's wrong, he's got it wrong here, and he's not saying it right here, or she's got it wrong here, that you're killing stuff off for yourself. You know, because on this fellowship, we continue, and we are blaze and carry on, no matter who falls off. We don't want anyone to fall off, like God doesn't want anyone to fall to the left or to the right, but we're moving. You know, we've been through all the stuff where people have talked and backbited behind the back without saying anything to anybody else, or doubted, or spoke bad words, or tried to curse us, you know. But it doesn't work, because we belong to God, and our hearts are fixed on God. We wait on Jehovah. Our hearts safely trust in our God. We hide under the shadow of his wings. You know, when there's trouble, we run to God. We give everything to God. Father, people are persecuting me without a cause. People are talking behind my back. People are jealous. people want to overtake what you've blessed me with when they can have their own blessing. Because the truth is, God wants everyone to have their own field. Now, I got my field. Sandgate's got his field, but I still connect to Sandgate. I'm not encroaching on what the work he's given him. That's his work. I've got enough to do here, right? With what God's given to me. And each one of you got your own before ordained works. And so this is why it's good to have vision, goals, and desires. Because if you sought God, see, now you can go with what you desire. Father, this is what I desire. This is what I really want. But ask God, what do you want? What's your desire for me? That's where it's really at. That's where you're really going to flourish and grow, in the desires of God, which you place strongly in your heart. And you might not think that you can do it or you can reach the goals because it's just way too high. You may think that you have to hitch up to an organization in the senses realm to be under a big building where masses of people gather together. It's not that way. We can see very clearly from the scriptures, it's from house to house. It's humble hearts looking to God, individual people walking with God. Philip walked with God. He had seven daughters that prophesied, and they moved by the Spirit of God. They spoke by the Spirit of God. You know, but he wasn't mentioned too much in the book of Acts, but he moved. And there were other individuals, the rest of the disciples also moved. You know, Paul kind of dominated things when he took over, in the sense of, in the scriptures, where God was really working with him. And, you know, God separated Barnabas and Paul from each other in the end. They separated themselves because of disagreements. So we don't want none of that stuff here. You know, we're one body. There's one God, one Lord, one hope, one faith, one baptism. And so as for me and my house here, the Tor household, we will serve the Lord and we'll continue to move forward. And we won't be bowing to anyone else's ideas of how we should do things and which way we should move and how we should connect, or if we're connected in the right place. We're connected with God, first and foremost. And where I'm connected is in the right place with my minister. Whether he does things right or wrong, I'm connected where God wants me to connect. Sandgate's doing things right, by the way. But I'm just saying, whether it's right or wrong, I will stay connected where God says. And I will keep moving forward. And if you look at all the patriarchs and all the leaders and believers through the centuries, they all have problems at times. They all kind of maybe gone off a little bit to the left or to the right. But God was faithful to bring them straight, you know? And because they knew that they couldn't do anything without God. And it's the same for us. I can't do anything without God. Jesus even said that. You can't do nothing without God. So if you think you're a smart ass, then you're not going to go far. You've got to be humble. You've got to be meek. You've got to walk in the power of God, not in your power. And not in your wisdom of working the things out. Now, this is a leaders meeting. And not everyone can make it. By the way, Bambi did send her love. She's with Tony. He's taking his son back to Nicaragua. So she's spending time with him. But she did ask me to send her love. So I do that while that just comes to my mind. But yeah, she sends a love. So the thing is, now we need to move on and we need to be focused and not get sidetracked, not stumble. You shouldn't stumble along. It doesn't matter your circumstances right now, because God is with you, and if they're not so good, your circumstances, God can change them. Right? And if they're great, then you want to give praise and thanks that they're great and they stay great. Right? And it should stay great. And if we have a little bump in the road, fine, God is there. We know he's going to provide. We know he's going to heal. We know he's going to deliver. We know he's going to do what we need him to do. Because God wants us to move forward. He doesn't want us hindered. Satan's the one that wants you hindered, not God. He wants you to move swiftly forward ahead. Now, that's determined by yourself, how you think, how you're going to let things affect you. You know, are you going to let the things of this world affect your heart and your decision-making? Or are you going to trust in the living God and walk in faith? The just shall live by faith. This is live unto God, right? That was the thing God put in my heart. And to live unto God is not to live unto the dictation of the world. Whether Trump puts 10% tariffs on our economy or 20%, who supplies all your need? God, right? God supplies all of our need according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. You know, God puts in kings and takes down kings. No, God will lift up the humble and put down the proud. So we don't have to worry about anything. We don't worry about things. You know, we just keep moving forward. God will show us the lay of the land, who's going to stay, who's going to go, who's going to move forward, who's going to be strong, who's going to try and do it on their own, who's going to try and do a takeover. It's not happening. Not on this watch, Jane. We're moving forward strongly with God, and God is going to keep us on track and those that stay with us on track. And we are going to flourish and grow in strength. We've been doing it for the last 5 years. There's been some wobbly moments for different people or for some of us, even myself. But again, what do? We stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We decide to be strong, right? So let's kick this meeting off with, and it's the first leaders meeting of the year. And we want to carry on, start as we mean to carry on. And number one is staying connected. You know, we need to stay connected to God first. And then God is working in your heart and will direct you to connect. And then do that. Use it. Keep it strong. Because that'll keep your heart. You may, I can think to yourself, well, I don't need to connect all the time. No, God's working in me and showing me things and giving me things. Why do I need to keep bringing up? Because it's good to keep connected. And it's, you know, there's lots of things that come up which you get good answers from. And you always, and I always say this, you need someone better than yourself, you know? And in the sense of, like from a humble heart, I'm saying that. We need people better than ourselves so that we can rise and move. And we got good examples to follow. And we can stay in check, you know, so that we're not hurting ourselves or hurting the group that we're with or hurting one another. So God wants us to be blessed in what we're doing. And you are free in what you're doing. No one's stopping you from growing and developing where you are. But in this group, we're moving together, building this up. This is the vision. God's word all over the world, right? All over from where you are. So if you take this information that I'm giving and implement it with a true heart and full focus, you will see fruit. You will see abundance. You will see blessings. There's just no doubt about it. It don't happen because you do your own thing. Simple as that. When I do my own thing, I don't see it bumping for me like I see it bumping in India and Nepal. But when I'm focused and I'm humble and meek and practicing, I see things bumping for me. I see things coming to me, making it easy for me. So we have to have a level of humility in this stuff, you know. You are free, but we're not free to please ourselves. We're free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You are bought with a price, all right? You're not your own. That's what the scriptures say. And, you know, so we're not our own. And, you know, and we don't want to rebel against what's being said because rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. It's just as bad as practicing witchcraft. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Who does he think he is? Who does she think she is saying these things? Well, if it's in the scripture and it's being led by God also, then that's what God is saying. And it's saying it by his men. Like God speaks by the scriptures, he speaks by his men and women today. In lifetime, so that we got a good direction and a good encouragement, right? So yeah, God is saying these things. So we don't want to find ourselves to be rebellious in the sense of, well, I'm not doing that. I know better. You know, I've been around too. You know, I know these things. I'm not inferior to you. We don't want to use scripture deceitfully either, because that's what Job said. You know, to the miserable comforters, who was giving them all this wonderful advice of what he should do. And he says, you know, I'm not inferior to you. What you know, I know the same also. And so we don't want to have an attitude where we're telling everybody what to do when that person has the Spirit of God and can move with God. But we want to encourage one another in love, and we want to provoke and excite each other unto love and to good works. There should be excitement in what we're doing. It's when we get our own agendas or our own ideas, it becomes hard. And it's when we start to think that what we're doing isn't working, it becomes hard. But the truth is, even if you get challenges that are saying to you, this don't work, then you carry on doing it. Because if God has set it up, it will work. And it does work. So the things that you've been encouraged works. You know, like speaking in tongues. What did God give on the day of Pentecost? Holy Spirit. And what did they do on the day of Pentecost? They all spake with tongues. Right? Later on, Paul went and said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. You know, God wanted that recorded. He wanted the church today to know that this speaking in tongues is very powerful. It's very mighty for you. Who was it? Someone was speaking to me today saying that they realized through the speaking in tongues, they got more peace and they got more desire to do things. I think it was Becky when we spoke today, which is great. And somebody else as well mentioned about the speaking in tongues and how they're finding things very easy since they really focused with it. Now, you know, I just speak in tongues. You know, I do my hour thing and I just focus there and it's no big deal. It's not like I'm making a special effort and no, this is okay. Let me get focused here. It's good to get focused. Jesus separated himself and went and prayed, you know, overnight, not for a week, but overnight. He went and prayed and, you know, he focused his heart and his mind. He heard from the Father. He didn't have to wait a week to hear from the Father. He heard that same night from the Father. You know, when he come down from the mountain, what did he do? He picked the 12. You know, so God can communicate to you very quickly because the word of Jehovah runs very swiftly. Sometimes how he provides for us might take a little bit longer because of there's hindrances. We've seen that in the life of Daniel. When he prayed, God answered him at the first instant. And then when he was sending Gabriel to give him the message, he was held up. Michael, he was held up by the prince of, was it Tyre or Persia or something like that, which is Satan. And Michael had to come on the scene, fight him off so that Gabriel could go and deliver the message to Daniel. So there are hindrances. We've got to remember there's three levels. There's the heavenly level, there's Satan's level, and there's our level, right? And we're above Satan's level, by the way. You know, all the power and authority of Satan is under our feet, by the way, in Christ. We just read Ephesians chapter 1. It says there about the power and authority of Satan and that we are over that power and authority in Christ, you know, when we're walking focused. So there's nothing that can stop us. And we just got to believe those words. And we just got to believe the scriptures of what it says. Yeah, Satan's the god of this world, but he can control you. He's not over you. You belong to God. You're brought with a price, remember? You're owned by God. No, you've been brought with a price. You've got freedom, but you belong to him. And he ain't going to have his property messed around with when we know who we are and when we take the authority. But we got to use that authority. So the speaking in tongues is massive. And then we see, you know, even on the day of Pentecost, Peter standing up. He quoted some scripture, Joel, the book of Joel. He said, this is what was prophesied in the book of Joel. He quoted that. And then he, with many other words, he spoke by the Spirit, the rest of it. And that was the apostles' doctrine. That's what they taught these 3,000 souls that turned their heart to God and Jesus Christ, that received the Spirit and spoke in tongues. These guys continued steadfastly. They were focused steadfastly. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship of that as well, and of breaking of bread and in prayers, and they shared their substance, what they had, and they laid that at the apostles' feet. And God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. The joy of the Lord was in all of these people. Like when I go to Nepal, and when you've been to Nepal, Sherry's been to Nepal, Mary's been to Nepal, whoever's been, Danny and Amber, the great joy, Sakina, been to Nepal, the great joy in there, and also in India as well, the great joy, the dancing and the celebrating and the food and the words and the testimonies. And Sangeet sent through to me an audio today, which I listened to. I'll put it out there, don't worry. And there was some fantastic testimonies on there. I won't say them because it was really good. But the power of God is still at work. People are still being healed, delivered, great testimonies. People are being set free. But listen, guys, you've got to have God first. Like, really first. Not half, no, I want, okay, we do, I connect once a week and I go on to pursue fellowship. No, it's every day. And for me, it's every moment of the day as much as I can, you know. And, you know, keep God in my heart and mind. Everything's God-orientated of what we're doing. And even if there's other things to deal with, it gets dealt with, you know. And we don't hang around on what we got to do. So it's not in our way. So we're free to move. So basically, you know, the speaking in tongues is very important. The speaking by the Spirit. Paul says, you know, we thank God when he went to Thessalonica that when you received the words of us, you received it not as the words of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which is effective in you and that believe. They were speaking by the Spirit. they weren't using scripture. They were speaking by the Spirit. And they said, we thank God that when you receive the words from us, you receive it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word from God, basically. It's the word from God. And we got to remember the scripture is the written word that was spoken before and it's been written down. That's the written, that's the scripture, the written word. But then the word of God is the spoken word. That's what the word of God is. It's the spoken word, the rhema words from God. That's the word of God. Now, it might be written down. When you're speaking the rhema words from God, God might want it recorded somewhere. I don't know. But that then it becomes scripture if it gets put in the scriptures, right? It could become scripture. That's what it is. These were people that were led by the Spirit of God, and they spoke by the Spirit of God. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the what? Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And it's for no one to privately interpret that either. It's not of, it's idios, not of one's own private interpretation. Well, I think it means this, Lark. Well, I think it means that. Well, I think it means this. Next minute, you've got 16 different religions. How many people use the King James Bible? How many religions use the King James Bible? Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and there's other people that use the King James Bible and add their own stuff in there. Roman Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, we're all using the same Bible. We're all practicing the same different things. That's why it needs to be by the Spirit of God. God ain't stupid. He knew that what was what. So don't think you're so smart because you belong to this or belong to that, or you've taken this or you've taken that. You're smart because you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you. That's why you're smart. And then you're smart when you go by what God has shown from the scriptures, how to move, how to speak. So those two things there, speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit. Very, very important. And I want to look at something just now quickly, and it's in the scriptures. So yes, Laura is going to the scriptures. Oh, wow, he's never done that before, has he? I have. And we'll read this because I think it's profitable and beneficial to do this. Because what I'm just reinforcing now and reminding, which we're supposed to do, you know, we're to remind one another, we're to, you know, excite and provoke one another unto love and good works. So, you know, God is literally at work and he wants us to really benefit. And he wants us to continue in the practice that we've been doing. If we divert, then you're going to start getting different results again, you know. There is the basics of what we do, and God wants us to practice that and to be strong in that. So now, I've mentioned speaking in tongues, I mentioned speaking by the Spirit, which is important for us to do. You know, if you want to go and check it in the scriptures, you can, you know, because it's right there. You know, we see Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit of God. He spoke by the Spirit of God. He didn't take anything with him. He didn't take script or scroll with him. You know, he spoke. If he went into the temple, then if anything was given for him to read, you know, we read one record of that. And there's only one record of that in Luke chapter 4, where he, you know, he's handed the scrolls and he read it. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And then he read that section there, and it doesn't mention it anywhere else in the Bible where that happened. So if it was something that God really wanted us to understand, then he would have really highlighted the point of studying and research. But again, there's nothing wrong with studying and reading. It's very good. It's good to read. It's a good practice to do. But as for living and moving with God, we're to be led by the Spirit. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, here we go again, right? For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous to me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. It's talking about honoring God, right? Lest happily, if they of Macedonia came with me and found you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. So they were boasting how these people were ready to give, but no one had actually given, right? Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up before your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not a matter of covetousness. But this I say, He which soweth sparingly or stingily, you can look at the words yourself, the Greek words, right, shall reap also sparingly or stingily, and he which soweth bountifully, as haphletes, shall reap also. So it doesn't necessarily mean in quantity, but with a happy heart, with a free heart, right? But he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. For every man according as he's purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, right, so God gives seed to the sower. Who's the sower? So God's the giver of the seed, we're the sower. Both ministers, bread for your food, he gives your basic needs to live, and he multiplies your seed sown. And he increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving unto God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. So God is the one that gives seed to the sower. He'll always give you seed, no matter what situation you're in. He'll give you something to sow, because if you haven't got nothing to sow, then you haven't got nothing to reap, right? And so God doesn't want you or me in that position. So through the practice of that, we should all be abounding in those areas. The only reason why we might not be is how we manage our own personal finances with that. No, so when I make God a priority in my finances, I make sure the seed that I've got is set aside for when it's time for sowing. And then as it comes in, you know, and I'm a good steward, I'm putting things to work, I'm not wasting money, I'm paying for what we need to pay for, we might have a few blessings here, a few blessings there. Like when someone said to me, oh yeah, like you must have a lot of money coming in to, it was a dig, someone's given me a dig. You must be doing so well to get a gym membership. I said, well, the thing was, I was smoking, which wasn't very good for me, and I was spending a lot more than what I'm paying for my membership on my gym. So now, because I wasn't spending there, I was freed up with more money to go and do something very profitable and beneficial for me, which was good. So I could keep alive and keep healthy and keep the weight in check. You know, so our people's mind thinks, you know, when you're judging people on the carnal, on the finances, because you're carnal, because no, God is the one that takes care of us. So we shouldn't have to, you know, be saying, oh, he's got that much and she's got that much. If you look in India and Nepal, they got loads of money from their giving and their receiving because they're practicing it. They're focused with God. And I expect this about Sarah, she can speak English, she can understand it. No one goes without. No one's poor there. They were at one time until the encouragement of honoring God was given to the people. Look at Krishna, where he was. He was going to die. He didn't have no money. He didn't have nothing. Now look at him, very prosperous. We went there, Mary, we was there, and they showed us all his land that he got blessed with, and he had so much masses of land and stuff like that. His house is built where it was a mud up before. And so God, you know, can turn anyone's life around. But what do you want? Are you geared up to live for God? You know? Lots of people happy, they got their job and they may have a little bit of money here and a bit of money there. No, I don't need all that, I'm fine. And they're blasé with it. Money's important. You should be just as serious about your money as you are with your health. Because it's what helps you live. And it can help other people also to come up. And so the honouring God is very important. For me, I would say the two areas of the five things that we encourage, and it's like, this is not like keys to be abundant. We just know these practices really get you moving with God, right? But the two most important ones is the connection and the honoring God. And out of all those five, God got me thinking about that. You know, God says, which are the most important ones? What you do. They're all important, but the most important ones are the ones that are less done. And so that's something for you to consider with God. And, but like, you're free. No one can make you do anything. I'm not trying to make you do anything, by the way. You're free to do what you want. But if we want to move forward in the same levels of understanding, of impact in what we're doing, then we need to be on the same page. And we need to be moving that way. And it's a discipline. Disciples, what does that mean? What does the word disciples mean? You know, we need to be disciplined. It's not religious. We need to be disciplined in our thinking. You know, we need to, if you're going to control your thinking, it means you need some type of discipline in your thinking, where you might have let your mind wander before, you then gather, you lasso your thoughts in. You know, we can make things, people make things too mystical. It's not. It's very practical what God's given us to do, and it's very easy. So God will always give you something that you can do so that you can receive from him. And he'll give you something that you can act upon, something that you can confess. Sometimes it's confession. Sometimes it's doing something. God can lead you into all those things, for God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? And then praying for the laborers is very simple. Do you really want a laborer? Some people may not want a fellowship. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they would want to be a leader and not have a fellowship, because if you're going to be a leader, you've got to be leading something, right? And it's the people that God connects you. So do you really want to be that leader? And if you do, just begin your fellowships, which people have been doing that. It really blesses me. And it's your fellowship. You know, it's not people, when you start your Zoom fellowship or your house fellowship, it's not people coming from this Zoom fellowship onto it. That's no real outreach or growth. That's just someone coming along keeping company, right? You want fresh, brand new people. Brand new. Start from zero. Start with just you. And let God add someone. And then from that someone, it might take time. You know, before Sangha got really moving in India, it's 14 years, and then Bhupender showed up. And then Bhupender, it was through him, started going to Kanpur, right? 4 years, he had family down there, and he would go, and he would spend time praying to God for an open door, praying to God for a labor. 4 years. And on the very last day, he said, God, I'm not coming back here, because there's nothing's happened in 4 years, so obviously I'm in the wrong place, and there's someone here. You need to bring them today. And you know what God did? And it was a guy called Tiwari. And through Tiwari, many come, right? Many come. And that's how it really began. You know, and then when I first went to India in 2006, we went to Kanpur. We went to these areas that were flourishing and the fellowships were hot. We went where Glub Singh lives in the mountains, you know, which again was a friend of Bhupender. And all these top leaders, Stephen, all come through Bhupender. But Sangha was the one giving them the words from God, the direction from God. And as Bhupender received that and got humbled, because Bhupender didn't want to be with Sangha in the very beginning. He didn't like him, because he went to Sangha because his wife was going to the fellowship, but Bhupender wasn't. And he went to Sangha and he thought Sangha might lend him 5,000 rupees to start his business. And Sangha said, no, you go to God. He said, I could have given it to him easy, but he needed to go to God. And that's what we do. We direct people to go to God for their abundance. And so anyway, he didn't like Sangha for a long while, but something happened in there. Things turned around and he connected and he got humble. That's the key. Got humble, ceased from his own works and striving and jealousies or whatever was going on at that time. And then he was humble. And then he went, God says, you go to Kanpur, where your family is, and start sharing down there. And that's where we went. He would travel up, and it's a 7-8 hour journey on the train. We've done it many times when we visited Kanpur. And then the great explosion. And then other areas opened up. Glub Singh in the mountain area is a totally different way to where Kanpur is. And again, he was connection to Bhupender, because they were going to do a business together in cooking, right, as far as much as I remember. And then all through the mountains, then the word just started to spread all over, you know. So this is where it began, like that, and then it come up. And but when people then got greedy and then started to want to be the big I am, then it fell apart for some of them, unfortunately. But then the ones that wanted to continue to move, continue to stay connected with Sangha, Sangha worked with those leaders, giving them the good things, and they just took it on board and run. Well, I'm doing the same thing in that manner. What he gives me, I take on, I take to God, and I ask God to show me, and I ask God to help me practice the right things and to gift the right things to the people. And so that's all I'm doing. I'm doing what God wants me to do, whether you like it or not, or you like my manner or not. You know, this is who I am in Christ, right? So anyway, and I do it with all the love in my heart, and I really do, you know, and I'm pretty bold to speak because I've had so much shit going back in the old days, I'm not putting up with it anymore. Like, I'm not going there. Because we haven't got time for that. We haven't got time for carnality. None of us have. No one's got time to mess around. Because the years will pass you and you'll be regretting, man, if only I'd done that then. If only I'd listened then. If only I knuckled down with God then. Because no one's making you do any of this, mate. It's all through your free will choice. Very simple. It's very simple. Do you want to do it? Well, jump on the ride and just get going. Jump on the train. The train's in the station. Let's get on the gravy train, God's gravy train of greatness and happiness and joy and love and laughter. So we pray for those laborers. And, you know, what have I covered there? We covered the speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, honoring God, staying connected. That the connection's important, you know. It really is important. And the work took off there in India through these guys. And it continues and it's got even stronger. You know, when I was there, Nepal, when Puran, at the time, the leader then, it was just him and his family. And we all, there's a group of us that went to Nepal. And there was no one else apart from those guys. And then so I've seen the work grow there. You know, I remember meeting Jyoti and she had no one. And we're sat in the van and she's driving and she's looking out the window. And she said, that's my village down there. And God's word's going to move all through that village. And see this area over here. I like that area too. And I'm going to move the word of God in all that area. And see this area when we kept driving. I'm going to move the word of God in all that area. And she's doing that and more now all over the place. She just took her desire to God. She was humble. She was ready to do. They had some challenges in the beginning, but then they got the sound doctrine through Beatrice. She had a desire to go to Nepal, and they had a desire to meet her, and so they got together, and Beatrice just encouraged, okay, now move this way. And what are you getting now? You're getting now, guys, move this way. Just do this. You know, you'll see it. You'll see it. Just stay faithful. Don't get tricked out. Don't get high-minded. Don't get unsteady. Soon shaken and moved. But stay steadfast. You know, they continue steadfastly in the Apostles' Doctrine. Pray for your laborers, for your field. They're come. Just like 14 years before Sandgate saw anything, and then another 4 years on the top of that for Penda. So that's 18 years before they've really seen everything flourish and grow. And look at it now. It's all over the place. All over the place. And the word's going throughout all the European nations, through the Nepalis, through the Arab countries, and through some of the Indians as well. They have their own fellowships. There's fellowships in the UK through the Nepalis. They're not English fellowships. They're Nepali fellowships. Danny and Amber's going to one next week. I could go with them. I might still do that. And so, and they're young people. So, and the leaders, we had dinner with the leaders in Nepal on the last night. They took us up on the roof and took us to a Korean restaurant. Those two leaders, their family members running fellowship there in London. So there's a way of doing things. Stay in your lane. Stay humble. Stay meek. Stay desiring. There's plenty of work for everyone. You want your own laborers, not mine. Get your own laborers. Pray for your own laborers. I'm not going after fans' laborers. I'm not going after Sakina's laborers or Mary Way's laborers or Becky's laborers or Danny and Amber's laborers. I don't even see Danny and Amber's laborers. And they're hot. Keely and the kids there. They're getting wonderful prayers answered. You know, obviously I get to hear about what's going on in their fellowship, but I don't go interfering. I'm not interested. I got this here and whatever God gives me. And then there's other people joining, new people coming. That Dylan guy and then this Sid guy or Hawks or whatever his name is, he's not on today. But there are people that do look and they do want what you got and they're trying to make a move on your people. But again, you don't really have to defend that. You just give it to God. Because we want to keep things clean. We want to see things grow. No, Ethel, she's got laborers. I don't go chasing her laborers. I ask how they are, because I know them. But that's it. And they're her laborers. And I'll help her if she needs help. If she comes to me for encouragement in a certain thing, I'll give it to her. I'll give it to any of you. That's my job. So it's good to know where the land is, where the lay of the land is, that field, skies are white unto harvest, the labors are few. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will echo those labors into the harvest. We need to move in the power of God. Signs, miracles and wonders. And in other words, just be free and be bold. Speak the word. God, like where I'm going to this gym, I'm speaking to so many people, it's unbelievable. And I'm not even looking for it. I'm trying to avoid speaking to people. I'm literally trying to avoid speaking to people about God. Because I know if I do that, they'll come. And they certainly do. God's like, you ain't getting away that easy, sunshine. There's a young lady over here called India. And there's a young lady over here called Asia. You need to share with them. There's a young man there called Sean. And the funny thing was, with that Sean is friends of Jack and Becky's, but originally a friend of Becky's brother, Josh. And Sean lived in Becky's mum's house. They put him up for a while. And I'm there in the change room speaking. I'm thinking, this guy knows. I reckon he knows Jack and Becky. And I just asked him. He said, yeah, I know them. And then I got share of him. So most of the time I go in there now, I'm sharing lots of him. Then the other night, I shared with him. And his friend, Sean, had a friend there. And I shared with him as well. And he's like, yeah, I believe in God. And then I was just sharing, sowing seed. So like, God's got the fields ready. They're all there. Things are in place. Just stay faithful and he'll lead you to that field. Like he led me to join the gym for me to lose weight. That's where I was. I wasn't focused on speaking to anyone. I mean, I will. Like I said to God, here I am. Send me. I'll speak when you open the doors. But you got to open the doors. I ain't speaking otherwise. And God really does open the doors. He really does. It's phenomenal. And he's lifted my faith up in that area of my life. You know, my life is, I'm more encouraged that I know God is getting more key people to come. And he's going to do it for you. You've got to be practicing this way, thinking this way, speaking this way. Stay humble, stay meek, stay moving, stay doing what you've been encouraged to do. Seriously, that'll keep you strong. Don't go to the left or to the right. Don't listen to other voices. Don't listen. If people are ringing up and starting to say different things to you and putting doubts there, then you nip it in the bud and you tell them, no, no, we're moving this direction. We're firing off and we're going ahead. Don't get gossiping. Don't try and get someone to come to you because you find they'll run away from you. Let it naturally happen. You don't have to say to someone, oh, come and you come and connect to me. You don't have to say none of that. Let it naturally happen. That's godly. And that's where the growth will occur.